Well, we're in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, so if you would, please turn there. In this chapter, we're seeing that he's returning to a topic, a subject that he's dealt with before, having to do with wisdom and folly, wisdom and foolishness. He says that there are two kinds of people in this world, that there are the wise, and then there are the foolish. And wisdom is the understanding of how this world functions. And then it's living our life according to how it functions. A wise person examines things, understands how it works, and then he lives or she lives their lives accordingly. Now, biblical wisdom is that, but it also adds another component. Biblical wisdom says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Biblical wisdom understands that this world is God's world. And a wise person will then seek to think God's thoughts after him and live according to God's will in God's ways. Okay, natural wisdom and biblical wisdom oftentimes overlap. They're one and the same. But then other times, they can collide. Natural wisdom, and just wisdom will say, live a life of integrity. If you don't live a life of integrity, people won't trust you. And so a wise person will live that way, a life of integrity. And in a sense, wisdom, natural wisdom, is me-centered. It's about helping me live well in this world. And nothing is wrong with that. Okay, but when sometimes you might be in a situation where your boss comes to you and says, I want you to falsify these records. If you don't, it won't go well with you. If it does, we'll give you a raise and you can move on up the ladder, maybe become a vice president in the company. Okay, so the person who's confronted with this says, I have a really obligation towards my family. I need to provide for my family. And if I don't falsify the records, if I don't go along with the boss, I can lose my job. And if I lose my job, I will not be able to provide for my family. Okay. But if I do what he tells me to say, I'll not only have my job, but things will go better for me. And I'll be able to provide better for my family. Now, the person who has biblical wisdom sees that, but also says, yeah, if I don't do what my boss tells me to do, if I'm honest, it won't go well with me. But it will go well for me in the future world. So I will do what God wants me to do. So that's what, and so what he's did last week is kind of laid out the wise man and the fool, and said it's better to be wise than it is to be foolish. Now, in our passage this morning, what he does is he kind of lays out what that looks like in very, very practically. Now, as I looked at this passage, let me say it up front, I don't consider myself a fool. Anybody here consider yourself a fool? Raise your hand if you consider yourself a fool. Okay. None of us say, I'm a fool. I embrace that identity. No, none of us, okay. But I can see that sometimes I'm kind of like what Job said to his wife. He didn't call her a fool. He says, you're speaking as one of the foolish women speak. And so I don't think I'm a fool, but sometimes I kind of act like one. And so I'm just saying that up front as we're working through, and maybe you'll see yourself that way too. So you're not a fool, but you're kind of acting that way sometimes. Now the scripture, the Bible, and the book of Ecclesiastes is really big on principles. Scripture is really big on doctrine. And it's not so big a lot of times on practical applications of the principles and the doctrines. Why do you think that might be? Well, I'm big on doctrine and principles, but not as much on the practical application. Okay, Christy says it's a different outworking. Okay, Ecclesiastes maybe were written 4,000 years ago. And so the practical situations that the people in that time period are going through might be different than ours. Principles are transcultural, trans-time. And so what we need to do is to take a look at the doctrines and the principles that Scripture teaches, and then how do those things apply to in my personal life. So that we take that and we pray and we ask God, how does this flesh itself out in my life? And so it's my job as the lead pastor of this church, I'm the primary teacher of the Word of God. And so my job is to seek to understand the Word and to bring it to you and teach you what it says, and, you know, the doctrines and the principles. And then you all take those things and try to flesh them out in your own life. Now, I, of course, don't just teach the doctrines and the principles. I try to make application, but I can only do so generally or only in a few specific situations. So what I'm going to do is to give you some principles in here, and I will apply it generally, but then you need to, before the Lord, see how does this apply to my life very specifically. And so we're looking at how a fool and how a wise person might approach life. And the first, and so beginning at verse number 8 of chapter 10. Okay. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. Okay, first principle. Life is filled with risk. Bad things can and do happen, and some things can go very bad very, very quickly. You know, you can be digging a ditch, and then the ditch collapses in on you. You know, you can be building a wall or tearing a wall down, and there's snakes in the rocks, and one bites you, he says. You can be, You can be cutting wood, cutting a tree, and the tree can fall and hit you. Or you can be chopping wood, and it can kick back and hit you in the face. You can be using a chainsaw, and it'll jump and cut you off the leg or something like that. He said you can be quarrying rocks, and rocks fall on you. That's what took place in his life. And in the New Testament, Jesus talks about that. There are some people that were in the village or town of Siloam were building a big tower. Okay, so the guys go, kiss the wife goodbye, grab the sack lunch, goes out to go to work. And while they're there, the tower falls on them. 18 of them are killed. It's not something they planned for. Life is full of risks. There are some people in Jesus' day, they go to church. And while they're at church one day, some of the safety and security people will say, they just go berserk and kill a whole bunch of them. Who do you think you go to church and get killed in church? But that's what took place. And that thing, that can happen to us as well. I mean, you could get on an airplane, fly out to Arizona, and it crashed. You know, you could start getting ready for work tomorrow and slip in the bathtub. Knock yourself out. Be walking in the administration building at Bryan and slip and fall down the stairs. You know, you could do what I did at 8-7. Cut your fingers in a lawnmower. Or like some of y'all, been driving, being minding your own business on 27, and somebody run the red light and T-bone you. Life is filled with risks. Now, with that understanding, what should we do? What will a wise person do? Life is filled with risks. What will a wise person do? How about starting off? Be careful. Be careful. If bad things can happen, be careful. I mean, that's what a wise person will do. But fools don't seem to understand that. Therefore, they have a tendency to not be very careful. And because they're not very careful, they end up being called what we call accident prone. Or just have bad luck. No. It's not that they have bad luck all the time. And the reason why they're always having accidents is because they don't understand that life is full of risk and are careful. Now, here's where I sometimes saw myself. Now, I understand that life is full of risks. But because nothing, very rarely has anything bad happened to me, I probably am not as careful as I ought to be. And so I'll give you an example, and I already know that some of you can identify with me in my foolishness. Okay. You have your car parked out in the driveway, and it gets really cold, and water condenses on that windshield and on the side windows and on the mirrors. Okay. And so you go out there, and you see that condition. If it was one of your children going out there and seeing the car windshield like that, dads, what would you tell your children to do before they left?
Take the time to scrape the window.
Maybe turn it on and then have the defrost on there and let it kind of clear your windshield. Any dad ever say that to their kids? Yeah. Okay, but I know, and I'm one of those dads, I know I've gone out to my car before and had a little place about this big and left the house. So what is Carter playing? The fool. He sees life is full of risks, but he is not careful. He can handle this. And every time I have. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be. Verse 10. Solomon is one of my favorite proverbs. And I encourage you all to read the proverbs. He said, Solomon says, a wise man sees danger and avoids it. But a fool walks right on in. Verse 10. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength because wisdom helps one to succeed. Okay, so this is a little bit different situation. In those first two verses, 8 and 9, he's talking about potential dangers out there. And now he's talking about difficulties in life. And then he gives us the second principle. The second principle is, not only does a wise person foresee dangers and avoid them, the wise people anticipate difficulties. And then they make plans to get things done. Okay. Foresee danger. Then you anticipate dangers and difficulties, and then you make plans to get things done. Okay, if the goal is to cut a cord of firewood, that's the goal. A wise person, based upon the previous verses, can think, okay, one of those logs might kick back and hit me. And since that can happen, what do I need to do? I need to be careful. Okay. Now, okay, he anticipates difficulty, so how do I make this task as easy as it can be? And so the wise person says, a dull axe makes me work real hard. A sharp axe helps me get the job done. So what will the wise person do? sharpen the axe. Or maybe do what Wayne did, buy a log splitter and let it do it for you. So what we see here, it's not enough just to know what we should do, have a plan, and we need to work that plan. It doesn't do any good, but yeah, I need to sharpen my axe, but then not go ahead and sharpen the axe. See, I think the difference a lot of times between the wise person and the foolish person is not just maybe they anticipate the difficulties. They understand, okay, those are difficulties, and they make their plan. But the wise person is going ahead and work the plan. Fools can even make a plan, but they never get out to get around to working the plan. So let's get practical on this. Ask ourselves, a wise person will ask themselves some questions. And like one of the questions a wise person will ask is, what do I know is going to happen? What is certain in this life? What is certain in this life? Anybody, can you give me something that's certain in this life?
Yeah.
We're going to die. Okay, that's certain. Okay, so let's, since that is unavoidable, what am I doing to prepare for that? Am I right with God? Am I right with the people that are in my life? Do I have a will? It makes it a lot easier on my descendants. I am going to die, that's for certain. The wise person will then plan for that. What's another thing that's certain in life? Taxes. Okay. Make sure you have enough money to pay your taxes. Because Uncle Sam, he will come to get you. It may not be today or next year, but he will come. Death and taxes. What else is certain?
Suffering
is a certain thing. Okay, so what? How do I prepare for that? Just look at that. Those different types of things. Okay, we're all going to get to a point where we're no longer going to be drawing a paycheck. How do I live when the paycheck stops to the time that I do that another certain thing? I die. How does a wise person prepare for something like that? Another thing that's hopefully certain, kids will grow up and leave the home. Right? Okay, so, you know, we've got, you know, different pieces in parenting. You know, you got to protect your kids. You got to provide for your kids. You may want to pastor your kids, teach them things of God. But then you've got to prepare them for life outside the home. So what is it that I would like my children to know and be able to do once they leave home? So they don't have to go get books and read about adulting to try to figure it out what it means to be an adult. Okay, a wise person understands. Kids are going to grow up and leave the home. So how do I prepare them for that? Or another thing, how do I take care of the things that I have? You know, there are going to be unexpected expenses. Anybody ever had an unexpected expense? Yeah, we all have it. And so we've got to prepare for those. Those are certain type of things. Now, but how do we take care of the things that we have so we don't have some of those unexpected expenses? Okay, yeah, but maybe I would love, it'd be nice to have the emergency fund that will take care of those unexpected things, but how do I minimize those things? Properly maintain what you have. So you got a car. Do cars run forever? No. Okay, so how do I do the routine maintenance? If I change the oil like I'm supposed to and change all these other things, my car will last a whole lot longer and I won't have some of these unexpected expenses to bite me. You know, God has given me a body, and it is not immortal. It can break down. So, but it would be best if I would take care of this thing so there's not unexpected, so minimize the unexpected. So what that means is eat right, get a sufficient amount of sleep, exercise. Those things can really help. You know, my house, we're going to talk about basically a leaky roof, and it causes the roof to sag and the rafters to go bad. Okay, if you got a leak in your house, like I got one in my shower, and it's going down and it's coming on the tiles beneath, what would a wise person do?
Sell the house.
Really? Sell the house. Yeah, okay. Well, I tell you what, I just won't take a shower in there very much. Yeah, and Gail said, phew, gross. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, and so it's just, what do we know for sure? You know, or if you're single, the majority of the people that are single get married. So how do I become the kind of person that a godly woman or a godly man would like to marry? And you do it, you start early. So you are attractive to the person of the opposite sex who is godly. So that's just what wisdom does. Now, verse number 11. If the serpent bites before it's charmed, there's no advantage to the charmer. Basically, it doesn't do you a bit of good that once the snake bites, that's when you call the charmer the one who catches snakes. You know, if you happen to find the bed of copperheads, you know, in your yard or in your wood pile, don't wait until it bites one of the children to deal with it. So you see the danger and you go ahead and you deal with it immediately. Now, when do people, a lot of people, get their security system for their home? After they've been robbed. Now, what do wise men of Westminster have close to their bedside? Okay. If you don't know, ask somebody who laughed. So basically what he's saying is life can bite us. And so we need to be wise. You know, we need to be able to figure out who we are, where we're going, what God would want us, who God would want us to be. And then anticipate danger and be careful. Devise plans concerning difficulties that we might face. And then work the plan. If we're going to be able to see things clearly and devise a good plan, what do we need? Can we devise a good plan? Don't we need knowledge to be able to devise a good plan? Who might have that knowledge that we need? Wise people, an expert. Okay, so that kind of goes to principle 3. Learn from wise people. Okay. Anticipate the difficulties. So how do we get around these difficulties? How do we meet these? You know, we have some goals. How do we accomplish those goals? We got to lay the plans. How do we know what good plans are? We learn it from wise people. the words of the wise man's, this is verse 12, the words of the wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil and madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him. What he's saying is we get a lot of God of counsel from a lot of different sources. And some of the counsel that we're going to receive is foolish, and some of the counsel that we are going to receive is wise. And so what we need to do is we need to find those wise people and learn from them. A fool will be happy to share with you what he knows. And he will continue to share what he knows. But it's foolish. It's bad counsel, and it'll get even worse. He talks as though he knows everything and he knows what's going to happen in the future, but nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. So don't listen to him. Listen to the wise. Now, if you go over to RC3, you'll see a lot of people, different people, in different stages and levels of fitness. Right? Now, if you want to lose weight and keep it off, who should you talk to? We'll say skinny people. People who may be where you are and have gotten where you are people that are seem to be able, you always go, always seem to be able to maintain with that. You talk to them. What do you recommend? What do you do? Okay, if a person wants to get, we'll say, put on some muscle and get buff, who should they talk to? Caleb Ebersol. Okay, talk to Caleb. Get with one of the trainers. If you want to get some good stretching exercises, they have classes all about that. You talk to those who stress. If you want to learn how to play pickleball real well, who do you talk to? Mickey Gates. Yeah, that's just what you do. You look for these wise people, the people that know what they're doing and have applied what they're doing. Now, if you want to be, say you want to be married or you're newly married and you want to have a good marriage, who do you talk to?
The Lord.
The Lord? What Chris? People who are doing it well. So how do you know who's doing it well? Who has a good marriage and who doesn't? Tommy says you can tell. Yeah. One of the ways is, yeah, you can tell. Look at the wife. Is she happy? If she's happy, that might be a real good sign that something good is going on at home. But if she's not happy, if mama ain't happy, things are not going well at home. And that may be daddy's fault. Okay. So, yeah, look for somebody who seems to have a real strong and good marriage. You know, if you're in the process of raising kids and you're struggling with kids and you need some parenting advice, who do you talk to?
Those older kids who
you look like they're doing well. Yeah, I sure wish my kids would be a little bit more like Rachel's kids, you know? And so you go talk to Rachel or something. You know, that's just, you look around. And God has his wise people. People who are applying wisdom to everyday situations of life that we're all going to face. And we're not born with the body of knowledge. And so we talk to those people. Find people who are doing things well. And learn. Now, some of us learn things through watching other people. We learn things through study and reading. And some of us learn things the hard way. And the people that have learned things the hard way, a lot of times, have a whole lot of wisdom. They can say, do the opposite, we'll say, of what I did. Here are some of the mistakes I made. Learn from my mistakes. And so if you're one who've learned some things the hard way, be willing to share that so people can benefit from the wisdom you have gained. And then and be willing to talk to people like that. You know, I was, before I came here to you know, organize this church, came from a church, Gail and I were in Columbia at a much larger church on staff there, and I had a guy that was interning underneath me. And so Jeff and I worked together for about a year, and periodically I found myself calling Jeff into my office and say, Jeff, don't do what I just did. You know, there are a lot of things he learned from me, that watching me do good things, and there are quite a few things he learned me sitting him down and saying, don't do what I did. And when Jeff left, he, you know, got his first church on staff at a church. He called me up and we were talking and asking how things were going. He said, really good. I'm applying a lot of those things that you taught me, and also told me not what to do. Yeah, so be willing to share. But as a side note, Jeff is one of my friends who spiritually blew up. And maybe I didn't warn him as well as I should have. There are traps all over the place, and it's very easy for us to play the fool. And we need to be awake and aware of things. Verse 15. The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Now, there are various understandings of this verse. It's kind of difficult maybe to understand. But it seems to be saying that the work of a fool, the toil of a fool, doesn't bring him any joy, doesn't bring him any benefit. You know, and so you ask him, you know, what are you doing? And he said, I don't know. He's just working his way through life. There's no ultimate goal. There's no plans. He's just working, just doing life. And he's just tired. Where are you going? I don't know. But what I do know is I'm tired. I think some people live their lives that way. You know, there's no goal, there's no plan, they're just doing life. Any of you all planners, goal setters? Now, some of you are. I was much more, when I was in seminary, that was very much goals and plans and working my plan. And sometimes it seems as though I kind of get away from that. I think the better we look at those things, we keep our eyes and go, what's the goal up here that I'm trying to do? How am I going to meet that goal? We can get a lot more done. Now the problem with planning and goal setting is, anybody ever had a goal and you made your plan and you're working your plan, and things didn't kind of turn out the way you were thinking? This is God's world. And He doesn't always function according to our plans. And we can be going down this road, this path that we have laid, and what God has done, unbeknownst to us, is there is a curve in this road. What does the wise person do? I got this plan to go straight, but there's a curve in the road. What does a wise person do? Slow down and lean into that curve. Now the fool will say, there's not supposed to be a curve there. I'm going to go straight. No, you can't do that. Yes, we make our plans. It's in man's heart to devise his plan, Solomon says. But the Lord directs his path. So we set our goals, we make our plans, we work our plan, but we keep an open hand with our plans, because God has often has other plans for us. And a wise person understands that. Verse 16, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. Or it could be translated, a servant. And your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of a nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for governing, for drunkenness. Okay. What he's saying in here is that it's bad for a country to have leaders who are not prepared for the job. Leaders who don't know what they're supposed to do and aren't doing it. You know, happy is the country, happy is the city, happy is the institution who has qualified leaders who know what they're supposed to do and are doing what they're supposed to do. Then we take that principle and then he brings it down into real life, not real life, but where we are. And he tells us through sloth, the roof sinks in. And through indolence, the house leaks. Okay, what he's saying here is what's true of government is also true for us in what we're in charge of. Governments, national governments, city governments, you know, that they're in charge of this. This is the country or their city is in since their domain and they're in charge of it. What is in our domain? What are we in charge of? Okay, Christy says we're in charge of our homes. Okay, we have the creation mandate in Genesis chapter 2 where God says to Adam and Eve, you know, tend this garden. What is our garden? What is our domain? Christy says our home is our domain. What fits in home? The structure fits in the home. So if I don't fix that leak, it's going to get so bad. He talks about that roof. The fool wasn't maintaining his roof, and it's going to sag, and then it's going to hit the rafters, and everything's going to collapse. Okay, so we've got the structure. What else is maybe part of our homes, part of our domain? Our relationship, our spouses and our children. We need to tend the garden. Husbands, we tend the garden, our wife, so that she flourishes. Spouses, wives, tend the garden, your husband, so that he can be the man that God wants him to be. The children that God has given you. This is your garden, in a sense. This is your domain. Take care of what God has given you. What else is part of our domain? Our finances. The possessions that we have. We can't be this type of a person where the sloth when it comes to what God has given, provided for us. We can't be like the servant, you know, who's become the king or the immature child. He's saying, wise people maintain their domain. They rule over it well. Dads. We are so important in the home. And I've mentioned the statistics before, and I can't give you the exact numbers, but we'll say if mom and dad are faithful going to church, you get this percentage of kids that are continuing, they'll go to church after they leave the home. If it's just mom, it's like this. If it's just dad, it's like this. What dad views as important makes a huge impact, more so than what mom views as important. So dads, how's your relationship with your kids? How's your relationship with your daughters? Because they might want to grow up to a married man just like you. What's your relationship with your sons? Do they know that you love them, that you're involved in their lives, that you're talking in to them? A wise person maintains their domain. Thomas Watson is a Puritan preacher. In a sermon of his The spiritual watch says this: keep your heart as you would keep a garden. Your heart is a garden, Song of Solomon 4. Weed out all sin of your heart. Among the flowers of the heart, weeds will be growing. The weeds of pride, the weed of malice, covetousness. These grow without planting and cultivating. Therefore, be weeding your heart daily by prayer, examination, and repentance. The weeds of corruption hinder the growth of grace. Where the weeds of unbelief grow, it hinders the flower of faith from growing. Weeds spoil the walkways. Christ will not walk in a heart overgrown with weeds and briars. Christ will sometimes walk among the lilies, Song of Solomon 4, but never among the thistles. We ourselves are part of our domain, so we need to tend the garden. So what do we need to do? Put first things first. What is primary? And then work out from there. You know, things don't improve on their own. I can't remember when it was, but I was standing in our front hall, right outside the front door, and there was something at work that needed to be done outside. And I thought, you know, I can delay, and I can delay, and I can delay. And it doesn't matter how long I delay. It's not going to get done unless I do it. So I guess I ought to do it. Then I thought, well, that's what it means to be an adult. Do what you're supposed to do. There's a book, you know, by David Allen. It's called Getting Things Done. And in Getting Things Done, he has the 2-minute rule. And the 2-minute rule is, if something comes to your mind and you can do it in 2 minutes, do it. A lot of times what we do is what I was doing with that task outside. I was procrastinating, putting it off. And so what I try to do, that's probably too strong of a word, what I do sometimes is when I get up in the morning, I'll repeat 20 times, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. And I try to do that, try. Sometimes I do it also at night before I go do it. And I want to rewire my brain and get out of the procrastination mode. And just, if something needs to be done, just do it. And if we do it, it'll save us problems and later on down the road. Verse 19, bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Now, I think there's two ways to be able to interpret this thing about money answers everything. It can be, you know, basically cynical. You know, money answers everything. That's a negative. But I think there's a positive way in which is more likely so, is that although Solomon has told us earlier that money and wealth does not ultimately satisfy, he knows that all of God's gifts to us are good, and they should be used, and that just as wisdom is a protection, so also money is a protection. Money solves a whole lot of problems. A person can be rich and miserable or poor and miserable, but the person who is rich and miserable, they can solve a lot of their problems with it. Just as a person who has lost their job and let go, is that a scary thing? Yeah, it can be a scary thing, because how am I going to pay my bills? It can be a scary thing to have a, you know, to get sick or to be in some type of accident, some type of pain, and then not having insurance or having a very high deductible. That can be a scary thing. It can be a scary thing for a person to have a major car problem that you got to fix because you got to get to work. But then you also know that you've got other bills that are coming due and you hadn't planned for the unexpected. Money solves a lot of problems. And wise people understand that Solomon, what Solomon says, a fool and his money are soon parted. So if a fool and his money are soon parted, what will a wise person do? Okay, they might make out a budget and save and work the budget. And if they don't, how do I do that? A wise person will go look for a wise person who manages their money well. Because they want to know, how do I handle my money wisely? And be able to allocate it the way it should be allocated so that I do have this cash buffer in case or when the emergency comes up, the unexpected. And we don't have, I'll just throw this out. Think about things in three different parts. Whatever your income is, and then 10% goes into savings. That builds up your cash reserve. That is also towards your retirement plan. 10% is saved. 10% is given away, given to the Lord's work, used to help other people. 80% is what we live on. Okay. So that might be a good goal to be pursued. 10%. I'm going to save because I know there's going to be a day when I don't have a paycheck. I know that there's going to be a time when I have unexpected expenses. Save 10%. Give 10% away. Understand that all that we have is from the Lord. Live on 80% and see what God will do. He wants to meet our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It might mean we shop at WeCare or Goodwill. But that's okay. They got a lot of good stuff. It's in my house. I recommend. Looking back at verse number 17, where that feast deals with feasting. Feasting for strength and feasting for drunkenness are two different things. God's gifts are good. We ought to enjoy God's gift, but use them within the parameters in which He has laid out in His Word. That's what biblical wisdom says. Let's wrap it up with verse number 20. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, or a winged creature tell the matter. Okay, so know where you're going, and know how, you know, set your plan to get there. Watch out for danger along the way. Make your plan. Work your plan, but keep an open hand. You know, if you can, make some money along the way. Enjoy God's gifts and give some away. But watch yourself, he says. A wrong word here or a wrong word there can undo everything. So what do we do with this? What we do with this is we take it and we say, Lord, I want to walk in wisdom. Natural wisdom and biblical wisdom. What questions do I need to be asking? What do I need to change? What changes do I need to make? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? You know, what is guaranteed? How do I live life in that guarantee? Okay. Just work with this, asking the Lord, these are the principles. There are dangers out there. There are difficulties. Anticipate that. And how do I live my life in this? What do I need to do to be a wise person? And so live a life that brings you pleasure and does me good. Let's pray. Father, it's so easy to listen to the voices of our culture, listen to the voices of the people that are inhabit the high places. And as we've seen here, and as we really know from experience, not all those who are in places of authority, those who are culture influencers, are wise people. Therefore, the counsel that they give is folly. Help us to see things as they actually are and become wise people. There are wise people around us who don't know you, and we can learn from them. And there are wise people around us who do know you, and we need to learn from them. Father, give us the clarity of thought to see what we need to do or what we need to stop doing. And may we be one of those who find themselves in the company of the wise. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.